Well, Christmas time can often be a time where there might be pretty strong arguments about what is the best Christmas movie of all time. Is it a comedy like Home Alone or Elf, an action blockbuster like Die Hard, or maybe you'd rather settle into an old-time classic like Miracle on 34th Street? I don't want to add to the controversy on Christmas morning, but just to throw another option in the mix, there was released this year a new Christmas holiday special, which I quite enjoyed. It was the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. Did anyone see that? A couple of you got Disney Plus. Good on you. It's a short comedy, and the setting is that a group of aliens on a planet called Nowhere are trying to figure out what this festival on Earth called Christmas is all about. And it begins with a song, which is a great song, which I think really sums up a lot of how Christmas is celebrated today. The song is called "I Don't Know What Christmas Is, But Christmas Time Is Here." I don't know what Christmas is, but Christmas time is here. And the plot is that through the movie, the aliens are trying to work out what is this thing called Christmas all about. And it can be confusing, can't it? I think trying to work out what is Christmas about. We know that Christmas time is here, but what is it all about? Well, this year at St Aidan's, we've really tried to just strip things back a bit and to get to the heart of what Christmas is all about. So in each of our services, last Sunday, last night and today, we've just picked one verse from the Bible to focus on to see what Christmas is all about. And today we just had that reading from John chapter 18, which you might be wondering, I mean, why are we reading about Jesus' trial on Christmas Day? Shouldn't we be thinking about the nativity or the angels or shepherds or something like that? Well, the verse I want to focus on really is verse 37. And in John's Gospel, this is actually the only reference to Jesus' birth. If you've read John's Gospel, you know that you don't get the nativity story at the beginning. Instead, it's here as Jesus has grown to be a man, when the first Easter is just around the corner, it's here that Jesus tells us about the reason why he was born. Now, it comes in the middle of this conversation with Pontius Pilate. So take a look there again at verse 37. "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So I want us to think about this conversation today between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, but really to consider this morning what it is that Jesus says there about the reason why he was born. And if you're here last night or last Sunday, as we've zeroed in on a couple of these key verses, well, so far the focus that we've seen about Christmas is that Christmas is about the sending of a saviour into the world, how Jesus came as a saviour to rescue us from our sins. But today you notice that the focus here in this verse is really about the coming of a king. That's the truth that Jesus tells us about here, that in his coming into the world on that first Christmas day, well, that was the arrival of God's long-promised king. We read about that promise in the book of Micah, that the one would be born in the town of David in Bethlehem. And friends, on this Christmas morning, well, I think that is a truth that has massive implications for us and how we live our lives. So let's jump into this conversation, firstly by considering the situation into which Jesus speaks. And the situation is this very strange trial that's going on. So if you look back up to verse 28, it begins like this. It says, "Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, 'What charges are you bringing against this man?'" So we're picking up the action here in John's Gospel. Jesus has been arrested by the Jews and is now dragged in front of the local Roman official, the governor of the region, Pontius Pilate. And the reason this is happening is because the Jews want Jesus executed. They don't have the authority to do it themselves, They need to ask the Romans for permission to have someone killed. That gets explained in the next verse, in verse 31. Pilate said, "Well, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." But they objected, "But we have no right to execute anyone." So it's kind of this strange trial that's going on. For one, I mean, the Jews here, they're dead set on killing an innocent man. But also it's strange in that everything here is kind of back to front. Because Jesus here, I mean, he should not be the one on trial before Pilate. It ought to be the other way around. Everything's kind of tipped upside down here. It should be Jesus who's the one who's doing the interrogating. And especially so if we've read through John's Gospel to this point, because what we've seen as John has recorded for us the things that Jesus did and said, well, he's been describing to us the extraordinary power and authority and majesty of Jesus. I mean, it started in John's Gospel with the first sign of Jesus' kingdom as he turned water into wine. And since then, we've seen how he's healed the blind and the sick and the paralyzed. He's fed thousands of people with a few fish and some bread. He's walked on water. He's raised people from the dead. He's been doing all of these amazing things, displaying the power of God's kingdom, revealing that he is God's promised king, God's son on earth. And now he stands on trial before Pilate. It's all kind of back to front, isn't it? Well, John now explains in verse 32 that this is actually all going to plan, just as Jesus said. And the fact that Jesus is actually the one in control here is a truth that I think becomes clearer and clearer as this conversation continues, as Pilate now tries to figure out who it is that he is dealing with. Take a look again from verse 33. It said, "Pilate then went back into the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?'" Now, as you read that, it's hard to see if, hard to know if Pilate is asking kind of an honest question there, or maybe he's actually making fun of Jesus, using kind of the Jews' words against him. But either way, Jesus seems to see straight through him as he replies, "Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?" Well, no longer is Pilate the one asking questions, and we see that he avoids answering that one from Jesus. Verse 35, "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" We see that he's starting to distance himself from what's going on here, trying to maybe leave the blame with someone else. I think maybe Pilate's starting to sense who it is that he's dealing with. Jesus continues in verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Now the conversation's starting to get interesting, isn't it? Standing in front of the Roman emperor's representative in Palestine, Jesus seems quite relaxed here to admit openly that he is a king. But not just any sort of king, and not the sort of king that Pilate's expecting or indeed knows how to deal with, because Jesus says he is a king whose kingdom is from another place. He is a king whose kingdom is not even of this world. Now, what does that mean? I mean, because either Jesus is a bit crazy or else Pilate is suddenly dealing with someone way above his pay grade. And I think at this point in the conversation, Pilate himself is starting to sense that. Especially so because Jesus further takes control of the conversation by now stating why he was born in the first place. So verse 37, Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." And friends, that's really the key sentence that I wanted to get to. I mean, here again is a very simple and straightforward statement from Jesus about what Christmas is all about. A statement about why he was born, why he came into our world. He says, "For this reason I was born. For this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth." And what truth in particular? Well, I think the conversation, the flow of this conversation reveals that it's the truth that Jesus is the king. "You say I am a king?" Well, Pilate, you've got it absolutely right. And in fact, that is the reason I was born and came into the world, to testify to that truth. Now, friends, as Jesus talks here about truth, and I am sure that you are very aware that we live in a society today in which truth is very relative and very flexible. We live in a society where what is true for you might not necessarily be true for me. That's the kind of the world that we live in. In Victoria at the moment, I saw an article just this week saying that there's a move to scrap any teaching or mention about Christmas at all in schools, or particularly in preschools, because to talk about Christmas would be to be forcing your truth onto someone else. But friends, what Jesus is saying here is that there is a truth, that there is an unavoidable reality about life, that there is a truth that actually comes from outside this world and that gives meaning to this world. And that truth is that Jesus Christ is the King. And we don't decide that truth. We don't change that truth. We change in light of that truth. It's not one truth for me and a different truth for you. This is the truth. This is why Jesus came into the world. Christmas happened so that we might know the truth that he is our ruler. He is God's King over us. Which I don't know about you, but for me, I mean, that is a helpful reality check on Christmas morning. To remember that the King has come. He came, as we know, at Christmas to be our Saviour. I mean, that's why he's part of this trial. That's why he's allowing himself to be handed over, so that he will go to the cross and give his life for us. But as well as being born to be our Saviour, well, these words from Jesus, which he spoke just the day before he would give his life to save us, well, these words from Jesus also remind us that he is our King. So what does that truth mean for us on Christmas morning? Well, to borrow a line from a carol, if the King has come, then we are to come, let us adore him. See, the question is, will we respond by letting this truth shape us and shape how we live our lives? Or will we respond by doing what Pilate does in this passage? Because did you notice how the passage just kind of peters out? See verse 37 again. Jesus says, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the very reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. And with that, he went out again to the Jews. It's really a tragic end to a very important conversation. Because here is Pilate standing in front of God's own son. Here is Pilate standing in front of God's King. Here is Pilate standing in front of the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The one who said in chapter 8 that he comes to speak the truth and that truth will set people free. Who just a couple of chapters earlier had said to his disciples that he is the way, the truth and the life. Here is Pilate standing before the truth, and he says, "What is truth?" And he turns his back and walks away. And rather than deal with the truth, well, he simply questions it, and then he ignores it. And then worse still, as the text goes on to say, he gets talked into rejecting it because of pressure from others. Friends, my prayer for you this Christmas is that you won't make that same response as Pilate, that you won't ignore the truth about Jesus at Christmas, but that you would see and believe that Christmas is about the wonderful truth of the coming of the King and Saviour that we need, the King who gave himself for us, the King who invites us to come and worship him.